is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you are before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God, come.
Good morning. It's morning, you gotta wake up. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It is a pleasure to be here with you. Thanks to our singers for getting us in the mood to worship together. A couple announcements. You won't see Dr. Carter today. We're going to welcome Steve Gwynn to share the word with us today. He brought several crew with him, so we appreciate that. You are all welcome to come and join us anytime. I got to meet his youngest daughter, Miriam, just a little bit, walking her downstairs. So we are happy to have them here with us and Steve to share the word with us. There will be no youth night. I think I had on the slides that there was youth night tonight. No youth night tonight. Generally, the youth will be meeting on the first Sunday in the evenings and the third Sunday for lunchtime. And then do one activity throughout the week. That's kind of the new schedule for them. Let's see, what else? We are going to be starting a diaper drive for the next several weeks up through the end of September. You've all probably heard Wendy speak about her support and work at the St. Louis Area Diaper Bank. One of the ways that we can support them is by doing a diaper drive. They have a goal of getting a certain number of drives going. So if there is anything, any size of diaper or pull-up that you can bring throughout the next weeks, we'll be collecting them and sharing those at the end of the month. Darren's a little live. Sharing those at the end of the month, and they've got any size that they need. Any size is acceptable. They can share all of those. I had a group I took from work up to the diaper bank, and we wrapped in just a few hours, wrapped 10,000 diapers that we were able to send out to folks. So it's a great way to support a local charity effort. What else am I supposed to announce? I think Joe had shared something with me. Right here. If you would find in the pew, a little brown book. If you would share your presence with us, register with us today. If you haven't already done so, and we invite you to leave a way for us to get in touch with you. And if you have any specific prayer requests, you can leave those requests in the registration book as well. I think that's it. I'm happy to be here with you. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worshiping together.
Go with our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Our Lord God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, the one who goes with us, before us, with us, and after us. You are with us always, in love, in our hearts, providing hope. In this place, at this time, we seek your presence. We ask that you would be here with us in our words, in our care for each other, in our hopes for the world, and for the words that we share and the music we sing. Be with us, Lord. Come, let your Spirit be here among us. We are thankful for the beautiful days that we have, the days that we can share with you and with the ones we love. We are thankful for this community, a place to gather with the faithful who care about serving you, who care about what you would love to do in this world, and how you care for each one of us and have a mission for this church, a mission for us, to be among those who are not here today. For those traveling, we pray for safe travel. And we know that your Spirit goes with them as well. We pray all these things in your holy name. Amen.
How shall we get along with others in this world? We should honor one another with kindness and compassion.
We should always be strong in our enthusiasm to serve God.
Come, let us joyfully worship God in all that we do.
Let us praise God in our words, our thoughts, and our actions.
Amen.
We have one slight change. We are going to sing out of the pew book, 120. I worship you, Almighty God. We're going to sing it two times through.
You are my righteousness. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, that is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you.
Psalm 26, verses 1 through 8. Show that I am right, Lord. I stay true to myself, and I have trusted you without doubting. Test my thoughts and find out what I am like. I never forget your kindness, and I am always faithful to you. I don't spend my time with worthless liars or go with evil crowds. I wash my hands, Lord, to show my innocence, and I worship at your altar, while gratefully singing about your wonders. I love the temple where you live and where your glory shines. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now let's sing hymn 390, We Are Called to Be God's People. We'll sing all three verses.
Mm-hmm. Ask that you will be with us and guide us, give us strength, give us guidance, dear Lord. For the many needs across the land, we know that you know them, that you are aware of them. There are concerns on our heart, dear Lord, that we know that we can not handle ourselves and shouldn't try to handle ourselves, but we should turn to you. Dear Lord, for the bounty you have given us, we are truly grateful. Very undeserving. We're grateful, dear Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who came to save us from our sins. We ask, Lord, that you will be with us, that the things we are about might bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now let's sing out of our hymnal 571, Let Others See Jesus in You. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4. Let's stand and sing out of the pew book, 162, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. We'll sing verse 1, 2, and 4.
We are one. spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, God's only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Romans 12, verses 9 through 21. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil, and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble, and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. And ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask Him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you are smarter than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the scriptures, the Lord says, I am the one to take revenge and pay them back. The scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. This will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
I woke up this morning saw a world full of trouble now, thought, how'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. Thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. That thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. Said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now? It's time for us to do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. I'm so tired of talking about how we are God's hands and feet. It's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy, but tell ourselves it's alright. 'Cause somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm gonna do something. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now? It's time for us to do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. We are the salt of the earth, we are a city on a hill. But we're never gonna change the world by standing still. No, we won't stand still. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now? It's time for us to do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something.
Good morning. I am glad to be with you today. I am from St. Louis. I don't know if you could tell with my family joining today. They didn't have to travel nearly as far as I did from Kansas City. I want you to know that it is a pleasure to work with your regular pastor, Terrell Carter. Don't tell him I said that. He always gets concerned when I walk into the office with a tie, because he's afraid it means something bad, and I tell him, no, it doesn't. So today, it means something very good. I get a chance to be here with you today and share the Word of God that I feel is laid on my heart about Romans 12, which you got to hear a little earlier. I think nothing makes people wonder about the relevance of the Christian faith in our world today more than the witness of the church itself. If a new television show started called Churches Behaving Badly, I don't know if you can imagine it, I have little doubt that the series could find enough scintillating, salacious material to give its viewers lots of juicy conversation starters for years to come. Perhaps even Webster Groves Baptist Church at one time or another might have provided such material for a show like that. We hear the stories, don't we? Pastors and church staff that embezzle money, church fights that boil over and cause a rancorous split, church members committing affairs with another church member, theological battles that lead the formation of an alternative church, church practices and preaching that value money more than spiritual formation, mega churches slow to care for their neighbors in an extraordinary time of crisis. Perhaps the last one sounds a little familiar. It may, since it was a big topic of conversation this past week. For now, put a pin in that idea. We're gonna come back to it soon, okay? Our text in Romans chapter 12, is Paul's way of getting to the heart of how brothers and sisters in Christ should get along. It's not any more complicated than that. It's that simple. And yes, at the very least, we should be able to get along, right? Did you hear the text this morning? Did you hear how we're supposed to be in relationship with one another? Be devoted to one another. Give preference to one another. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Associate with the lowly. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Be at peace with all men. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Do you hear it? Did you hear it? As Jesus liked to say in some of the parable stories, let those who have ears, and it looks like everyone here has ears, hear. Do you need time to think about this? Do you need time to reflect on its meaning? As we like to say in uppity seminary language where I come from, are you contemplating the missiological ramifications of your formative ecclesiology? Or let me state it a different way. Do these words mean something for our lives as followers of Christ? The truth is, there is no trick to these words. There's no gotcha. There's no if, then. This is the activity of the church. Its community should reflect these values. I love the first words of verse 9. Let love be. They set the whole tone for the scripture passage. Everything thereafter in the chapter flows from there. Let love be. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome in a very specific group of people at a very specific time, but here we have it, 2,000 years later, right? Here we have it, his words to the church. Isn't it amazing how the more things change, the more they stay the same? Just as relevant as it is. Paul was addressing the church division among the followers of Christ in Rome. Church division. This was probably about the year, 55 BC, or excuse me, 55 AD. There was division among the followers of Christ even then. The Rome church was unique in many ways. Later in our church history, it became the center of Western Christianity, then the seat of Roman Catholicism. But long before this, we have a church, like many others around the Mediterranean Sea, just trying to find its way. This Christian movement, this way of Jesus, was still a fairly new thing. When Paul writes the letter to the church in Rome, he hasn't yet visited their community. This is a distinction from a lot of other letters that you find. He hasn't yet been to Rome. He's just simply heard about what's going on there. But he intends to go. He intends to show his face. He intends to solicit their help, prayers, and money. He wants both in continuing a mission journey that he has planned to go through Rome all the way to Spain. So here we are. We're given a glimpse into Paul's concern. A church that is embroiled in internal conflict. It's hard to grasp the specific character of this danger to the community, but it is clear that there is something wrong here, something deeply wrong, something that threatens the health of this new community. So here's what scholars think. Many scholars attribute the problem to the relationship between Jews and Gentiles within this church itself. It could be that the Gentiles were not helping receive their Jewish brothers and sisters back into full fellowship. You see, there was an exile, a Jewish exile from Rome in about 49 AD. And this letter was written not long after, a few years after. So perhaps the Jewish brothers and sisters were not being received back into the church fully. Or perhaps in another scenario, the Jewish faithful were feeling spiritually superior. Perhaps through absorbing these trials and tribulations that were put upon them, they were looking at their Gentile brothers and sisters who did not have to face such trials and tribulations as spiritually inferior, causing friction. There's still yet another scenario. Jewish and Gentile followers of Christ may have been flaunting some level of theological arrogance over their Jewish persons in Rome, in the Rome synagogue, who had rejected the teaching of Jesus, who had rejected that Christ was the Messiah. So you've got these three scenarios, and we really don't know for sure. Perhaps it was kind of a combination of all three happening on some level. But what we do know is that something has caused the church in Rome to move away from what Paul believes should be the character of the Christian community. Differences were accentuated, and their common bond in Christ was being neglected. The common worship of Christ, like we have here today, is what Paul consistently appeals to in this letter. Remember who you are. But also he appeals to their sense of witness. The community of faith is supposed to be a witness to the love and beauty of God's reign in this world, today as it was back then. A city on a hill, a light to the world, an inspiration that the power and purpose of God sets apart the communities of Christ from other groups. There is supposed to be something different about the church. There's supposed to be something different about us. Something that captures the attention of people who peer into this community. Here is something different. Here is something that does not look and feel like what I experience in other parts of my life. These Christ followers, us, are experiencing something very unique. For Paul, this witness is threatened when the character of the community takes on the character of other communities around the church. What is different about the church? Not much. When people see they argue amongst themselves like everyone else, their groups split like everyone else, this love that they profess and they preach to the world turns quickly to jealousy and airs of superiority like everyone else. Nothing condemns the church to irrelevancy better than the church itself. Into this atmosphere of the Church of Rome, Paul tosses his own perception for what ails the church. Let love be. And if you like the cool rhyming of the New American Standard Bible, like I use, it is, let love be without hypocrisy. Can you remember that one? Let love be without hypocrisy. If you can envision a good church fight, then you can envision the wisdom of Paul's words for diffusing the negative impact that a church fight can have on his community. I've seen church fights, and what they do not include is devotion to the other, preference to the other, contributing to the needs of the community, hospitality, blessing instead of cursing, shared rejoicing, shared weeping, avoidance of haughty or superior attitudes, or turning from vengeful thinking. How easily the people of God can embrace blame, anger, distrust, and satisfaction in our own perceived righteousness. How good it feels to be right, and to make sure everyone else knows how right you are. Surely no such attitudes have ever touched Webster Groves Baptist Church. I look around and see good people. And I have to say that today because my family's here. I see good people here. People who have decided to worship Christ on this beautiful Sunday instead of engaging all sorts of tempting activities this morning. You chose to come here. You chose to be here at 11 o'clock on Sunday. But we know better, don't we? We know it's easy to focus on those differences that can make us feel superior, that create the sense of better than or set apart from. It's not a far leap for any faith community to get swept up in dividing our communities in ways that clearly separate those who are worthy of God's love and those who do not prove themselves worthy. The worst part of these kinds of attitudes and actions on the part of the church is how damaging they are to the church's witness in the world. Who is the church of Jesus Christ? Paul is getting into this idea at the end of chapter 12. He writes of not repaying evil with evil, being at peace with everyone. Do not practice vengeance. Feed and drink, give drink to your enemies. Paul is starting to broaden the way in which the community of Christ followers is supposed to live out relationships inside and outside the church. People do watch. People do care. In our society, where the nuns, that group of people who check no particular religious affiliation on these surveys, is continuing to grow and grow and grow, our witness as a community needs to have appeal as an alternative to the often harsh grind of our normal surroundings. An oasis in a desert. A sanctuary for the hurting. A city on a hill. A light in darkness. Pick your own metaphor. What is the Church of Jesus Christ? I do, of course, do not believe the reports of the death of the church. They are greatly exaggerated. The form of the church, the models of a church's appearance, will change and adapt, as they always have in history. But the message of Christ, its power to speak so poignantly to the deep needs of people, the love and belonging that people need, that stands the test of time. But it is that message, is that the message the church and its members are sharing? Is it what people see and hear? A little earlier, I asked you to put a pin in a very recent story about one of the church's most prominent mega churches. This past week, Lakewood Church in Houston, you probably have heard the story, home of Joel Osteen's media ministry, they caught a lot of flack for their perceived lack of responsiveness to the urgent needs of their immediate neighbors in Houston. They were criticized for keeping their doors closed during such a critical and vulnerable time when the neighbors needed help. They were labeled hypocritical to preach love on Sundays and lock out the needy during an emergency situation. Lakewood responded that they did indeed care, and eventually they did open their doors. days later? Were they responding only to the criticism? Had they been working through a complicated, coordinated response prior to the facility being available? We don't really know what was going on in the inner workings. And fair or not fair, the criticism, no matter. The damage was done. In those moments when people were asking questions about the church, the witness of the church did take a hit. The point is not to point fingers at Lakewood. It's an example. There are plenty of faith communities who over the years have contributed to the social dents on the Christian witness. Through all these examples, I can hear Paul saying, "Let love be." When I was a youth minister, in what seems like a millennium ago, one of our youth wore one of my favorite t-shirts of all time. It read, they will know we are Christians by our t-shirts. Perhaps there is a bumper sticker saying something similar, or a yard sign. But the droll irony of the shirt made me laugh, because, of course, it's not what we want at all. It's not t-shirts, it's not bumper stickers, it's not yard signs. But it's other wise words offered by Paul in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is how they will know who the Church of Jesus Christ truly is. Practice these inside this house, and others will know. Practice these outside of this house, and others will be amazed. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Practice these in how different we will look than the rest of the world. Why are you associating with this person? Why are you being differential to them? Why are you letting them get away with it? Why are you helping them? Why are you inviting them? Why? Why indeed? I guess what we are hearing in Paul's concern for the church in Rome is this. When in Rome, don't do as the Romans. Hear these words for our benediction today. May the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with Webster Groves Baptist Church. May love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control be its character and the character of its people, people who need the strength to practice that here and the strength to practice that outside of this house. We go in the name of Jesus Christ. We go with the promise that He will be with us in all things. Amen.